So good seeing each one of you here this morning as we come to worship God in spirit and in truth. Now, those of you who are younger won't be paying attention to this, but those of us, like myself, who are somewhat older, we're through April. This is our last Sunday of April of 2024. How quickly time goes by. And what better way to spend our time than to worship God in spirit and in truth, sing praises unto God, and to go home, examine those things, and make application of those teachings to our life. So I am so glad you're here this morning. I look at this very much as an opportunity to share with you what I've studied this week. I want to begin by asking all of us, myself included, how's your soul? Is your soul prospering? I think that's a good question, is it not? Is your soul, not your outward man, but is your soul prospering? And that's going to be our study this morning. So I want us immediately to turn to the 3rd John, the book of 3rd John. We know 3rd John has only one chapter, so it's verse 2 of 3rd John. Now, as Paul writes to Gaius, he states, "Beloved," he says, "I pray that you might prosper," but notice what he says, "in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers." Do you see the transition? He prays that they would physically prosper, but what was already prospering? Their soul. "Just as your soul prospers." Man is a dual being. We have an external being, that's what we can see in one another, and we have a soul. So he already has told Gaius, your soul is prospering, correct? Do we see that in that passage? As we continue to look at that, let's look from another version. There he states, "Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you, and that you might be in good health." That's talking about the physical, is it not? But then he says, "as it goes well with your soul." Physical, spiritual. And really what we need to be concerned about at all times, first and foremost, is our spiritual. So again, I ask the question, is your soul prospering? Or is my soul prospering? And if we say yes, my next question is, how does it prosper? And that's going to be our study this morning on how your soul and my soul can prosper. Glad you're here this morning. We learn as we continue on in 3 John. In 3 John verses 3 and 4, it states, "For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. And I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth," right? Now we know from John chapter 17, verse 17, "Thy word is truth," correct? So he's talking about the soul prospering, and I believe we get the glimpse as to the answer to that. One's soul is prospering as one walks in the truth. Make sense? As we tie these verses together. So when we talk about this idea of walking in the truth, that's a personal choice. I can't walk in the truth for you. You can't walk in the truth for me. Now, with us who have been parents or grandparents, we can teach our children and grandchildren the truth. And when they're under our control, we can bring them to settings where the truth is taught. Agreed? But inevitably, as they get older, it's their responsibility to walk in the truth. I can't do it for you. You can't do it for me. And that being said, I can't have your soul prosper for you, and you can't have my soul prosper. We have to do it individually. We want to understand that. Now, we all can have our souls prosper, but it's an individual responsibility. So as we continue and look at that thought, I want to suggest first and foremost, the soul prospers when you and I feed with the unadulterated word of God. Notice what I said, the unadulterated word of God. There's a lot of people who are not here that have been studying the word of God. There's a lot of people who study the word of God in this community day by day. Trouble is, oftentimes they're studying an adulterated word of God. What I mean by adulterated, some impurities have come in to their understanding. Those impurities we call doctrines of men. Those impurities are things of this world. Would you agree with me? Once we bring in the doctrines of men and the things of this world, do we adulterate the word of God? So we want our soul to prosper. Our soul will not prosper with an adulterated word of God. Just like a small child wants that pure mother's milk. If that becomes adulterated, does it become a problem? Absolutely. So let's talk about some passages that you're well familiar with, because I'm sure you want your soul to prosper, and I want my soul to prosper, on the unadulterated word of God. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13, we have recorded for us here in verse 13, I'm only going to read the first part of it. It says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. That's what we want to focus on. We're talking about feeding our soul. I have got to gird up the loins of my mind, because our soul feeds upon what? The unadulterated word of God. Now, when you see that gird up the loins of your mind, we're going to have the Bible explain that to us. So when we look at that passage of girding up the loins of your mind, let's go to Romans chapter 12. In Romans chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2. There we have, as we talk about girding up our minds, it tells us here, as Paul writes to the Christians at Rome, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, listen, by what? By the renewing of your mind. You see that there? Did your Bible say that? By the renewing of your mind? Started with Peter, gird up the loins of your mind. It says, by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So gird up the loins of your mind by renewing your mind. You see how we're adding the puzzle together now. Let's go to the next passage as we put this puzzle together. Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians chapter 3, in verse 10. We have recorded for us in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 10, and having put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. So now we've got the girding up the mind, the renewing of the mind, and this passage adds another point. We're renewing our mind in what? In knowledge, right? So gird up your mind, renew your mind in knowledge. Let's add one more piece to the puzzle here. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. And that is the knowledge of God's will. So you see how I tied all those four passages together? Start to gird up, renew your mind in knowledge. Whose knowledge? The knowledge of God's will. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. For this reason, we also, since the day heard of it, we do not cease to pray for you and ask that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will. So now we've got what specific knowledge? Not the knowledge of the world, not the knowledge of man's doctrine, but the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. Of course, where do we get the knowledge of God? In the book we're studying this morning, correct? So we started out, you want to have a soul that prospers, you've got to feed it. And what do I have to feed it with? I have to feed it with God's will. And that's the book we're studying. Not something adulterated, but the unadulterated. I like going to, where there's not many of them around, but I like going to bookstores. You ever go into the religious bookstore locally, Books a Million? There's a big religious section there. The trouble is that people will go to those books and fail to go to this book. Is that a possibility? They mean well, but that's not going to help their soul to prosper. What's going to help their soul to prosper is what we're studying this morning, God's book, because I want my soul to prosper. Now, as we continue of this idea of feeding upon the Word of God, let's add a second passage, Colossians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, it states, "Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father by him." Now we understand you can't put a circle around verse 17 and just say, in the name of Jesus, I'm doing this. Verse 17 is explained by 16, is it not? And you go back to verse 16, there we have the word of Christ dwelling in you richly. When I have the word of Christ dwelling in me richly, then I know what he wants of me. And then I'm doing it in the name of the Lord. Don't have to say in the name of the Lord. I'm doing it by his authority because I have knowledge of that. Does that make sense as we tie this all together? Because we want to have that soul that prospers. But when it talks about that in verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, may I suggest that your soul will not prosper if you only open this book on Sundays? Just like your body is not going to maintain good health if you don't feed it good food. And you don't feed it once a week, do you? Which one of us would be satisfied to eat physically just once a week? Not I. I'm not even satisfied eating just once a day. How about you? So for you to physically prosper, you have to eat. For me to spiritually prosper, I have to eat. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, abundantly. Okay, now that I have your attention, how do we do that? Glad you asked. I thought you might be asking that question, so let's go to the next passage. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, I want my soul to prosper. If my soul is not prospering, I cannot blame my wife. I like to kind of blame her for a lot of things, but it's really not her fault. I cannot blame the circumstances I'm in. If my soul is not prospering, all the fingers point back to who? To me. And if your soul is not prospering, I like this, you can't blame it on me. All your fingers point back to you. When it talks about let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, that's a personal responsibility. Now, how do I let the word of Christ dwell in me richly? Well, I believe 2 Timothy tells us the answer. And 2 Timothy and chapter 2 and verse 15, it tells us here, be diligent to present yourself approved unto God, a worker who doth not need to be ashamed, but rightly dividing what? The word of truth. Oh, did you see how we made a complete circle? Did you catch that? We started in 3 John, right? And what were they doing? Walking in truth. What do we have here? Truth. But I need to be diligent. Do we have a society of people that are not diligent? Do we have religious people who are not diligent? And if you or I are not diligent, our soul's not going to prosper like it could. I've got to be diligent. Now, when I talk about being diligent, and I don't want no one to give me the answer when you walk out the door, where are you in your spiritual growth? Have you ever taken a self-evaluation? Where do you want to be at the end of this year? Have you ever thought about that? I want to grow. Okay, that's not going to work. Because you're not specific enough. It's kind of like a young man going to the health club. I want to gain muscles. And you got 45 machines to look at. Now, for one to be successful, not only do they see those machines, they have to learn what those machines do. And once they learn what those machines do, now here's the hard part, then they got to start doing it. And here's the real hard part. They got to do it regularly. Right? For us to be spiritually diligent, we've got to take God's word diligently. If you don't know the plan of salvation and you're a child of God, learn it. I didn't say you had to quote it, but learn it. If indeed you're a part of the New Testament church, then learn what the New Testament church teaches. Learn how we establish authority. You know, one of the scariest things to me today is people don't know how to establish religious authority. I believe Larry will be going to that some more tonight. Do it. But to do it, we've got to be diligent. Don't ever say, this is what Chuck told me to do. No, no, no. Or this is what the elders told me to do. No, this is what God has told me to do. You see the difference there? You got to be diligent. Well, one more point before we move on, because I know you want your soul to prosper. So we see we go back to the truth. We're diligent. One more passage, and then we'll move on. We need to do it daily. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. It tells us here, therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man, see that's the physical, our outward man is perishing. Those of you who are older, you understand that. But our inward man is being renewed. What? Day by day. So I have to be diligent day by day to the study of this word. That's what we see in this first chart. Will that help your soul to prosper? Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, we're one step closer. Because after I put all that effort in, I've got to put some more effort in. And the more effort in is I've got to apply what I've learned. I've got to apply it. A few weeks ago, I gave a lesson on love from 1 Corinthians 13. I'm still trying to apply those principles I shared with you. It didn't stop after I finished that lesson. I've got things to apply. How about you? Do you even remember anything in 1 Corinthians chapter 13? Are you applying those things? You see, sometimes we talk a good game, but now we got to live it. Once I have this in my mind, gird up the loins of your mind, that's what we started with, right? Then I've got to try to apply it. Turn with me, if you will, to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. We're all familiar with this. And by the way, when I say that, I'm not apologizing because we can have these passages said over and over again and it'll be beneficial for us. But in James chapter 1, beginning in verse 21, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own self. Don't deceive yourself. We're hearing the word today. Don't go home and forget about it now. It says, now, but if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man observing his natural face in a mirror. Now, if you have the King James Version, it says glass. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of manner he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, what's that? What do you think the perfect law of liberty is? It's the New Testament. He who looks in the perfect law of liberty, listen, and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, what? This one will be blessed in what he does. You know why people aren't blessed? They don't do. They hear. By the way, this is a wonderful audience to come and preach. Because people pay attention. If you're not paying attention, you're deceiving me. Because you look like you're paying attention. And when you're looking down, and I know this is hard for me as an older man, looking down at your electronic device that has the Bible on it, I'm assuming you're in the Bible. I'm hoping you're not looking at a text message that someone just gave to you. Okay? But now after we look at the Word of God, we've got to do what? We've got to do it. We've got to do it. Let's go to another passage. Remember the Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. We've talked about that last Wednesday. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. We have recorded for us here, for this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you receive the word of God, how's your soul going to prosper? By having the word of God. You heard it from us. You welcome not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, listen, which also effectually works in you who believe. If the word is working in you, what does that tell me? They're doing it, right? They're doing it if it works in you. Let's go to another illustration on that. As we consider that, let's look at this passage, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 9. I want my soul to prosper. It's my fault if it's not. And I want you to have your soul prosper. Sorry to say, it's your fault if it's not. Here he states in Philippians chapter 4, as Paul gives himself as an example, and listen to what he says in verse 9. The things which you've learned and received and heard and saw in me, listen, next two words, these do. You heard and saw these things in me, do. Not just keep it up here, do. Right? You want your soul to prosper, it can't stop in the brain. The brain has to incorporate it in our conduct, in our life. Would you agree with me? That's what it's saying. And a lot of people don't understand that. I have known a lot of people who know a lot of verses. I have known a lot of denominational people who could quote one verse after another. I have known those in denominational error. Quick illustration, Jehovah's Witnesses, they can quote the Old Testament left and right. But they misquote it. I'm not laughing about it, but they misquote it. People get overwhelmed because most people they come into contact with don't know much about the Bible, and they're overwhelmed when all these passages are bombarded against them and they're quoting them left and right. But the trouble is they're misquoted. So it's not just to have the knowledge in here. We have to have it unadulterated. We have to have it in here unadulterated. But then we've got to do it. We've got to put it in our life if our soul's going to prosper. Your soul's not going to prosper very much if you don't do anything with it. But let's go on. And Hebrews chapter 5, verses 13 and 14. Hebrews chapter 5. I had a relative one time say, well, I don't like studying with you, Chuck, in the sense, they didn't use those exact words, but that was the principle. I don't like studying with you because you jump around too much. I jump around because I want the Bible to explain itself. And by jumping around, I take passages which I understand from my study, explain the passages that I'm studying. So when we're talking about, okay, you gird up the loins of your mind through the truth, we went to passage. We jumped around showing it's the Word of God. And now we've got to put those in passages into play, into application. Now here's a good example of the non-doers and the doers. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 13. For everyone who partakes only in the milk of the word of righteousness is a babe. Now, here's the beneficial one. Verse 14. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. Your version might say mature. That is. Now, who's the full age or mature? Those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both what? Good and evil. Let me give you an illustration. We use the phrase good and evil. Who defines good and evil? Now see, if we allow society to define good and evil, do we have a problem? Is that going to help our soul if we allow society to define it? No. So it's God's word that defines good and evil, does it not? So, okay, so if I take that word, God's word, Larry's going to talk much more detail tonight on that. Very good, good point's going to be brought forth. And put it in my head. And then if I apply it, number one, I'll know what God wants as good or evil. And number two, if I make the right application, what am I going to choose? I'm going to choose the good, right? And if I choose the good, is that going to be beneficial to my soul? Well, case closed, right? Simple as that. And that's why we have one more passage before we move on. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. Now, how can I do that? Well, I've got to have that teaching in my mind. But it says, let it be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or I'm absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And where does that come from? Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's why when someone says, well, that's just your opinion, Chuck, well, stop the truck. No, that's not my opinion. That's what Romans 10:17 states. That's not my opinion. That's what Philippians chapter 1:27 states. You get my point? I want to have my soul, my inner being, the part of me that's eternal. I want to have it prosper. And if it's not prospering, it's because I'm not doing anything to cause it to prosper. It's not going to just automatically come. Doesn't matter whether you get a 30-year pin because you've attended for 30 years. What matters if you use those 30 years to develop that mind, that develop your actions, that will cause you to be a better type of person that God wants you to be. Right? It really is that simple to see. Oh, but it takes all my effort to do. How about you? Take all your effort to do. I love being with my family. I love being with my grandchildren as long as they let me get a nap during the afternoon. But I've got to be careful because there's times when I'm with my family, it takes up the bulk of the day. Nothing wrong with that. But does it take up so much of the day that I spend no time in here? Do you get my point? Does that happen sometimes? Yeah, not good, because I want my soul to prosper. I want you to have your soul to prosper. So we have to feed on the unadulterated word daily, and then we've got to make application of that. And that includes not only here, but everywhere. Everywhere we go. I'm a sports fan. Nothing wrong, nothing unscriptural being a sports fan. But I can't act like some other sports fans. I've got restrictions as how I can act. I learned that clearly when I helped coach a high school girls softball team in Perry, Florida when I was down there. I was an assistant. And the one problem I was having with was one of our elders whose daughter was on the team. I had to go to him and tell him to calm down. Calm down. Now, doesn't mean you can't get excited, but you've got to watch and curtail that excitement. Because guess what? You're still a Christian. I get excited about sporting events. But when there's a bad call, I don't join in the 50,000 who are verbing cuss words at the official. That's not what I should be doing as a Christian, right? So again, to do, not just to hear what God's word has to say, but to do it. Last point in the lesson will be yours. So notice I made it real simple. Feed, follow, focus. I made it simple not for you, because I'm sure you're much smarter than me. I made it simple for me. Because for me to apply these things, it's got to be simple in my brain that I can kind of tie it together very simply. And I can simply tie together feed, follow, and focus. And as we look at focus, never lose sight of the goal. Because you see, it takes effort to have your soul prosper. So you got to remember why you're doing that. Why are you putting forth the effort to have your soul prosper? Well, let's go to these passages and the lesson will be yours. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 5. And Colossians chapter 1 and verse 5, because the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, which you heard before in the word of truth of the gospel. The hope laid up for you where? In heaven. How exciting that's going to be. Peter puts it this way. 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's go there very quickly. And 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 2 and 3. We have recorded for us as Peter shares the inspired word by stating in 1 Peter 1 and verse 2, he states, and verses 3 and 4, I'm sorry, it states, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again in a living hope. And remember, we've studied that, a living hope, because Christ is alive. He's our alive. He's our forerunner through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. That's our goal, right? We want to be spiritually minded because it's going to give us a better life here, but more than that, it's going to give us a home in heaven, reserved in heaven for you. Undefiled, incorruptible. We can't say that about anything in this physical world, correct? But we can say that about heaven. How wonderful that is going to be. Let's go just a few more and then we'll close. Colossians chapter 3. And Colossians chapter 3 and verses 1 through 4. We have recorded for us, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above and not on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Set your mind on things above. So, yes, does it take effort to feed upon the Word of God? Absolutely. But is heaven worth it? Yes, does it take effort to take those teachings and put it into my life? Absolutely. But I ask you a question again, is heaven worth it? And then one more passage, and then we'll go to our final passage in Philippians chapter 3. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, we have recorded for us here, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and that's a whole lesson of itself, behind whether the past failures or past successes, and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward, and I like the way it's put here, New King James Version. I press. When you think of pressing, do you think of casual or intensive? When I think of the word pressing, it's not casual, is it? When you see someone running a race and they press toward that finish line, do they slow down or give whatever ounce of effort they have? It's the latter, is it not? I press toward that goal of the upward call. That's what we need to do. Feed on God's word. Put it in your life. And keep pressing toward that goal. And if you do that, we will have spiritual success. Also, our soul will prosper. So I close with this passage. Turn with me, if you will, to Colossians chapter 4. Now, I have to laugh because for many years, and I'm just going to share this with you, and you look at verse 12, that first person there, I've often, for about 38 years, would say Epaphras. I was corrected and said, no, that's not how you say it. It's Epaphras.
What? It's Epaphras.
No, it's Epaphras. No, you must be wrong. So I not for that only, but I've got on my computer a program, and I'm not saying they're the sole authority, at least this program. They pronounce words for you. So after that lesson, I went home to my trusty verbal vocabulary, went to Colossians chapter 4, in verse 12, looked up the name, highlighted it, how you say it, pushed the button, and I'm confident. I'm like Garfield the cat, smiling, because I know I'm right. What's going to say? I'm thinking it's going to say Epaphras. So whether you want to use Epaphras or Epaphras, you choose. Here's what this individual says in chapter 4 and verse 12. Who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ, greets you always, laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you might stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. And if you stand perfect and complete in all the will of God, my question to you is, will your soul prosper? Yes. So if you're here this morning and you stand outside of the will of God, the water is ready for you to be baptized for the remission of your sins. And the men will help you take your good confession, and you will be immersed to come into contact with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, raised to walk in newness of life. Most of us have done that. Most of us are feeding upon God's word. Plenty of us, perhaps in this room, our soul is prospering. But if your soul is not prospering, I pray, go home and see where you need to improve as we stand and as we sing.